When Matt read the scripture for the children this morning during Kids Kirk, I was reminded of Moses, the great leader of the Israelite people. And he was well known for making coffee. Do you remember how he made coffee? He brews it. That just never gets old. As we come to God's word, will you please pray with me? Lord God, may the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here this morning, and may the words that flow from my lips truly be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's wonderful to be back with you today after being gone for a couple of Sundays, and a return to the book of Acts, which we're on a journey through, at least through the end of August, before we begin our journey through the story. And if you recall, 2 weeks ago, Dr. Eric Turner was here from Hannibal LaGrange sharing the gospel. And then last week, the representatives from the men's retreat and the youth retreat came forward to share about their experiences. But when we took a break from Acts 2 weeks ago, we were in chapter 4. And Peter and John were in trouble yet again with the temple leadership. And if you'll recall, in chapter 3, Peter had healed a 40-year-old man who had been lame from birth through the power, or by the power, of the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, we read, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And the man stood on his own for the first time in his life. And not only did he walk, but he ran and he leapt for joy, giving praise and glory to God." Of course, the temple leadership felt threatened by what Peter and John were doing and by what they were teaching, and they put them in jail overnight to think about the crimes they were doing against the temple. And when they were brought before the Jewish leadership the very next day, the apostles were asked by what authority and by whose name they were teaching and healing. And Peter boldly declared, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Indeed, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." Powerful, pulling straight from the Psalms. And then Peter made a truly remarkable statement. He said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." The leaders were flummoxed by this answer and his declaration, and they were fearful of the crowds because they had seen Peter heal this man in the name of Jesus. So they basically slapped the apostles on the wrist and said, "Go away and don't talk about Jesus anymore." To which they replied, "That is something we simply cannot do." Then upon their release, and this would have been the scripture we would have had for last week, Peter and John went back to the other apostles and Jesus followers, and they shared with them what had happened, and they began to pray together as a community of faith. And their prayer is preserved for us in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 to 31. Now, we don't have time this morning to read that prayer in its entirety, but there is a portion of it I wanted to share as we transition to this morning's reading. Within their time of prayer, they prayed, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city, Jerusalem, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Notice that in that time of prayer together, that these followers of Jesus did not pray for material blessing. They did not pray for relief for the coming persecution that was before them. They did not pray for comfort. Rather, they prayed that God would grant them boldness to speak God's word to the people. and to perform healings and miracles through the name of Jesus. And that brings us to our reading for this morning, from chapter 4, verse 32 through 5:11. And I just encourage you to remember, you know, when the Bible, when these books were written in the Bible, there were no chapter numbers, there were no verse numbers. These are things, you know, that humans have inserted into the text, which oftentimes throw us off. This is one account, even though it's in two different chapters. Okay, so hear now God's word. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, in all of them, that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some of the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." And Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Christian life is a public life. It is not cloaked in secrecy or hidden deeply within some sort of secret club or secret society. One of the ways our faith in Jesus is displayed to the outside world is through the visible fellowship of believers with one another. Basically, to be a Christian means that we are to live in unity with God through Jesus in the Holy Spirit, and to live in unity with God's people, the church. Our reading for this morning speaks clearly to this. Indeed, the very first verse today points to that reality. Quote, all of the believers were one in heart and mind. This congregation was marked by unity. They represent an ideal portrait, if you will, of how the church should be, how a congregation should approach mission, and how the membership of a church should relate to one another. This early church, as recorded by Luke in Acts, was unified around the truth of the gospel as found in the person of Jesus, as revealed in Scripture. And this central building block produced one heart and soul among the believers. Put another way, there was a clarity to how these early believers lived, and there was clarity in how they loved and why they lived and loved in the manner in which they did. The people of that church community willingly shared of what they had. Right? It was not coerced.